1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
What was perhaps just a entertainment note of interest, maybe to fans and to parents, Paul McCartney, the ex-Beatle, ex-Beatle of 30-plus years, and his wife, Heather, are planning to have a child. This may not have been such a huge announcement, but there's an organization called the Co-Parenting International Foundation, and they're having a meeting and having a couple of meetings in Las Vegas. We want to talk to Jeff Dowder. He's a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech and also one of the founding members of this organization. Why is Mr. McCartney, Paul McCartney's and his wife Heather's expected birth of a child, the expected child, why is that controversial?
Well, I wouldn't call it controversial, Phil. First of all, my congratulations to the McCartneys. But
you're concerned.
We are concerned. There's no doubt about it. But I do want to preface my remarks by saying in no way does what I'm about to say reflect on the character of the McCartneys or on it. Certainly on decades of great music that Mr. McCartney's given us. I'm a little young to know about the Beatles, but I do acknowledge what they've done. What concerns us, Phil, is that Mrs. McCartney was the victim of a pretty serious accident which resulted in injuries that were serious enough they necessitated the amputation of one of her legs. And we're pretty concerned that the McCartneys, in bringing a child into the world, will, subject that child to an unconventional atmosphere, which I think the... You know, maybe the proper way to put it.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, does this have to do with him being a Beatle or?
No, I'm speaking more about Mrs. McCartney.
About her because she lost her leg?
Yeah, I feel that what we're trying to say, Phil, is the influence and presence of a parent that is not normal, or if you want to say abnormal, or just has the one leg, could affect the child's psychological health. That's the only thing we're concerned about.
Well, that she has one leg. I mean, what about obviously the. The woman loves her child. I'm going to have to find out specifically why this woman having one leg. And she wears a prosthetic limb, doesn't she?
My understanding is, yes, sure, she does, yes.
Okay, so she wears a prosthetic limb. Why would her being having only one leg affect the child?
Sir, I'd like to, first of all, I want to say that we don't live in a perfect world. I wish that the world was perfect. I'm sure if the Beatles ran the world, it would be a lot along the lines of a song that Mr. McCartney wrote called What You Need Is Love. But we don't live in a perfect world. First of all, any child of the McCartneys will see that their mom only has the one leg. And you mentioned a prosthetic limb.
Exactly.
The prosthetic limb is something that she has to take on and off. As anybody knows who has a small child, oftentimes you have the child with you when perhaps you're undressing. It's not anything wrong. It's just if it's a small baby. And even a baby can remember seeing the plastic leg.
All right, but this is all to say that a plastic leg or one leg on a woman is a bad message. Okay, so you're saying that physical appearance, what about love? What about commitment to the child? You're saying this is a trauma that is being visited on this kid, and I'm talking about...
Well, it either traumatizes the child or the child doesn't get the message, and that's, what we're saying is, if... You have a child, and you only have the one leg, the child focuses more on the disability than they do on any lesson of love or life lesson that you're going to be giving. And that's what concerns us more than anything else. It's not that that love isn't going to help. Certainly love helps. Love is great, but a child raised by an abnormal parent will not grow normally due to the focus on the leg.
First of all, when you say abnormal, it sounds as if Mrs. McCartney's not abnormal.
No, sir, not at all. But she does have a physical malady, and if you're trying to impart a lesson to a child, and I can cite, if you want, Mr. Jenner, we've got at least two studies, one done by the University of Arkansas, on the early locomotive abilities of infants from 0 to 3 years of age and from 3 to 8 years of age. And when you try to give a message to a child, at least two or three researchers could see that the children's eyes wandered between the face of the parent who is giving them the lesson, and then they look down and see no leg. And they.
In other words, they're looking down to see that there's only one leg. Is that distracting them?
It can distract them. That's why we're saying the McCartneys need, I think, to apply to either our organization or other organizations to make sure that child, at least 2 weekends a month, has the advantage of being in a home with parents that have all four legs, or I mean, you know, two legs for each parent, but that's equals four, instead of in a home where one of them is abnormal.
Yeah, but you're talking about removing a child from their home for 2 weekends a month.
No, but the rest of the time they're with the normal parents, and the baby will think they're, you know, first of all, you give a child a toy doll, and you can pull a leg off a toy doll. Now the child sees the plastic leg on his mom or her mom, and now they're all, they don't know what's up, because there's a plastic leg on a Barbie, plastic leg on the mom. All of this, Phil, is what is called pre-locomotive trauma, which we do cover in our literature.
All right, Dr. Jeff Dowder, professor of mechanical physics from Caltech, is with us. The McCartneys are planning on having a baby. Mrs. McCartney is missing one of her legs. She had from an automobile accident. It is the contention of your organization that this could possibly cause the child to grow up somehow warped because they've been
exposed to the trauma of having a pair of one leg. And the other thing too, Phil, is I think you have to consider what's it going to be like teaching that kid to walk when you only have a leg. Now the kid, in many instances, may mimic the walk of the mother. Even though he's got perfectly two good legs, he'll be walking with a limp because he's seen her do that.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The McCartneys have been living their lives in a relatively quiet way. To say that with this announcement that they are going to have a child, or that they're expecting to make a child or whatever, should be met with some skepticism seems rather cruel, don't you think?
Mr. Henry, believe me, I would rather not be cruel. What I want it to be is a warning to the McCartneys. If you have a baby and all you have is one, or all she's got is one leg, you're exposing the kid to an abnormal home. Most kids grow up in a house where the parents have obviously all their body parts. Okay?
But surely there are kids that grow up in homes where a parent has one leg.
Absolutely. And those kids do grow up traumatized. What we're trying to do, for the first time in the history of parenting, is take a look at this and say, what kind of trauma is a kid going through? We did studies on children that were raised by people who were hearing impaired. It's interesting, even though the children had normal hearing, they would start every sentence with, huh? What? Now that's interesting.
Well, maybe they just hear their parents say that.
It's possible, but they've got perfect hearing, and you could say any normal sentence. Would you like to go out to have some dinner? What? Huh? They can hear you. You're right next to them. But that's because they were raised...
What, with two parents that kept saying, huh, and what?
You know, I don't personally think...
Well, look, I don't mean to laugh, but what you say...
What we're trying to say here, Mr. Henry, is we want children who grow up in homes where the parents are not normal to feel normal.
Taking a child away from his loving mother 2 weekends a month and putting him in a home with parents who have all of their legs, you know... That's going to traumatize the kid, because...
No, it won't. It's only 2 weekends a month. The child's with the parent the other time.
Well, what are you going to tell the kid, man? Here's two perfectly strange people, but you need to be around them because they've got all their legs?
You just say this is time with a proxy parent to help round out your education. That's all you have to say. You don't have to say nothing more than that. I mean, again, what we're saying here is... A child growing up in that environment could be traumatized. We've seen children, for instance, who learned how to speak when they had parents who were stutterers. And again, they can speak normally, but everything is with a stutter like that, because that's how they heard people when they first were getting grown up. Also, as I mentioned...
Yeah, but that thing about... I'm sorry.
Mr. Henry, I know it sounds funny.
Well, the thing about... Parents that can't hear?
Yes, sir.
And the kids can hear fine, but they start every sentence with huh and what?
Because they grew up hearing that.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Paul McCartney and Linda, Paul and Heather McCartney, God rest your soul, Linda, his new wife. She is a lady who suffered an automobile accident. She has one leg. She has a prosthetic limb. This gentleman is part of an organization called Co-Parenting International. They think it is traumatizing to a child to grow up in a home with a parent who has that kind of physical deficiency or abnormality, that the child will see the one leg and be traumatized by it, that the child needs to spend at least 2 weekends a month with parents who have all of their limbs to know what is normal. I don't know how you take a child out of the home of his mother and say, I'm sorry, you can't be with this child every day of your life. We have to put him in another home because you're not normal enough. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Paul McCartney and his wife Heather are planning on having a child. Heather McCartney lost a leg in an automobile accident 10 years ago. Jeff Dowder, who's a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech and a co-chair of the Co-Parenting International, believes it'll traumatize a child to grow up with a mother who has only one leg. We're talking to Mr. Dowder. He's in Las Vegas, Nevada for a conference of Co-Parenting International. Sounds like you're in the casino, sir.
We're just having a little R&R, Phil, or the casino at MGM Grand right now. We're going to go over to two seminars later tonight. One's going to be at the hotel, and another will be at one of our members' homes who we're fortunate enough to is hosting us this evening.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Should Paul and Linda McCartney have a child, have a baby, even though Heather only has one leg? You think that it's okay as long as the child can spend 2 weekends a month around two-legged people, correct?
Around people who don't have, you know, a obvious physical abnormality.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Lauren, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jeff Dowder.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes. This gentleman is scary. Does he think this child is going to only be surrounded by people who just have one leg? You know, if
you never know. You never know.
You know what? If the two family, if the household has two parents or one parent, if it's a loving environment, a nurturing environment, an accepting environment, an environment that says let's learn to accept people for their differences and teaching the child how to cope with life and the differences and the problems that come up in life, that's the key to a healthy, normal, adjusted child.
Well, I agree that love
with two legs. My brother-in-law has a prosthetic leg, and my niece and nephew are perfectly happy, well-adjusted. And you know,
well,
they
I'd love to interview the children. I'd love to interview those children and find out just how well-adjusted they are. I'm not saying they don't love their father.
Sorry, you're a little too scary for me.
And I'm not saying
anyone to.
I'd like to know if the leg, your brother-in-law has no leg.
Right. He has a prosthesis from above the knee down.
What happened? Can I ask you how I lost a leg?
It's a train accident.
Was he laying down on a track or something? Was it some kind of a stunt?
You know what? This is not a call about how my brother-in-law lost his leg.
Well, I think the children will want to know if their father was laying on a railroad track.
But it isn't what we're talking about, and the woman is making a very good point. Okay, it's about a loving home.
I don't disagree with that. I'm curious. Was he watching Jackass or something like that? That's all I'm asking.
Jackass?
This thought to me is very scary. Taking a child out of their home to be put in a household with people who have both legs.
Yes.
What is he going to say next, what we should be doing with our children? Taking them out of the house with the person with the brown eyes and putting them in the house with the person with the blue eyes. That was also
those are not handicaps. Those are not handicaps, ma'am. I have to tell you, I worry about children in a home where the father watches Jackass and goes out and lays down a railroad track.
Who said anything about that? Now, you're just making assumptions, and you're the kind of person who really scares me.
Well, ma'am, I don't want to scare you. I want to give you a way out. I want to find a way out.
I don't need a way out. What we need is more people to just learn to be accepting and not need to change the environment of the handicapped person except to make it maybe a little more acceptable for them.
Well, I think that what we need to do is if they have a parent, and this lady brought up something, Mr. Henry.
What?
If they have a parent who is running around acting like an idiot and losing his leg on purpose.
Now, you see, I don't know what your problem is. You don't really stay on the topic when you have no idea my brother-in-law's situation, nor am I going to get into the situation with you. You need to delve into any other topic.
All right, that's fine.
Staying on the topic at hand.
That's fine, but let me just say this. Do you think a child should stay in a home where? Do you think a child should stay in the home where the parent is jumping off of the roof or lighting his farts?
Okay.
Is he talking about now?
Irresponsibly acting parents is all I'm talking about, ma'am.
Irresponsible acting parents. Okay. There are lots of irresponsible acting parents with two legs.
Yes, exactly. But if they act irresponsibly and then they lose a leg on top of that, now you really got a problem.
Well, who are you or me or anybody? And not knowing the person, in this particular instance, it's the McCartneys, and whose business
right.
is it anyway?
Yeah.
How does anybody know how she lost her leg?
I believe I know. She lost it in an automobile accident.
Well, right there.
No, that doesn't tell me anything. She lost it in an automobile accident, not running around, jumping off of rooftops. The woman was a professional model. The last thing she wanted to do was lose one of her legs. So.
Well, but you don't know what people do for kicks either.
Well, are you suggesting this?
People with two legs, two arms, PhDs, doctorates, psychiatrists, astronauts, they can do all sorts of wacky things in the privacy of their own home.
We need more stable parents, not Johnny Knoxville-style parents. That's all I'm saying.
How did this get into it?
What do you think? Are we talking about mental stability or physical stability?
I'm talking about a one-legged man. One-legged man lost his leg laying down on a railroad track.
So you're talking about his physical stability, that he won't be able to stand well?
What we're worried about more than anything is that the children will see a one-legged parent begin to imitate their style of walk. They'll be imitating their style of walk. You've suddenly got two people, a child, a perfectly normal child, limping across the crosswalk. It looks ridiculous.
Oh, come on. All right, listen, ma'am, I got to take a break because your phone is... Thank you very much, though.
Are you sure, Heather McCartney, and I say this again, I'm sure what you're saying is true. How do we know she wasn't on the Jackass?
Heather McCartney didn't lose her leg on Jackass. Heather McCartney lost her leg in an automobile accident. A tragic thing for a beautiful young woman who, at one time was a professional model.
Okay.
All right. We got a minute left here in the half hour. We are going to get to more phone calls. We're going to take a quick break here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You said you cite a study from the University of Arkansas on the locomotion ability of toddlers and small children.
That's correct, yeah.
Now, that study showed that if there was a household that a handicapped parent, the child inputs slower?
Yes, because having to sit there and listen to a parent give you a life lesson and then also kind of try to ignore the fact they only got one leg is tough. It's distracting. It's distracting.
So the kid is like, can't listen to 2 + 2 = 4 because he's concentrating on
There's only one leg there. Children that grow up in a three-legged household have a lower chance of inputting.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with Jeff Dowder on Heather McCartney.
We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We're with Dr. Jeff Dowder. He's in Las Vegas at the Co-Parenting International Convention, and you will be there through Sunday. The philosophy that because Heather McCartney, Paul McCartney's wife, has one leg, her child may grow up traumatized, has obviously got people upset. What do you say to people who will tell you that they grew up with one-legged parents and that they're fine?
I think they're in, unless they got some heavy counseling early on, I think they're in denial. I think anybody what grew up with a one-legged parent and did not get some kind of counseling is fooling themselves into thinking that it did not impact them. And again, we have cases where kids had parents who were sight impaired, were blind, and they thought it's perfectly normal for parts of the day to walk around with their eyes closed. Now, this can be a dangerous situation, stepping out into traffic.
Well, look, no kid's going to step into traffic with his eyes closed.
If he thinks it's normal not to be able to see.
But he sees the rest of the world can see.
But he knows his parents can't. And remember that a parent is the gold standard in life for every child. What their parent does and what their parent believes is what the kid believes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jessica. Go ahead, Jessica.
Yes. I tell you what, I work in radio, and this is just the biggest waste of airspace I've ever heard in my entire life. This guy
could
is
comment,
a freak.
Could I comment on that, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
You work in radio. Good for you. I happen to have observed children from a behavioral stance for the last 20 years.
So, if you would spend half of your time and energy
playing another Britney Spears record, good for you, but we're trying to help kids.
Hey, I don't carry Britney Spears, and that's beside the point. My point is, if you would spend half of your time and your energy on maybe taking children out of the homes of crackheads or something along those lines, then we'd be talking about something important.
Okay, that's fine. But go ahead and do that, but the kid's still going to, at least he's got parents that are walking on two legs.
Oh, it's okay for them to be walking on two legs if they're stoned out of their heads or drunk or whatever their drug of choice may be?
Of course not. But how embarrassing is it to be in a house, every other kid's got four legs walking around there, and he's looking at three.
And he's not going to ever see anybody else in the world that has maybe a deformed arm or an arm missing or a leg or an eye or anything like that. So you're going to shelter them from everything else in the world.
Well, first of all, if you're talking about an eye, they have patches that people can wear. And if you've been around enough teenagers to know, they think that looks cool.
Oh, so, okay.
All right.
Well, what if a child thinks it's cool to only have one leg?
Can they not think that's cool either? Believe me, no way. No kid thinks it's cool to walk around on, like with one of those plastic legs where you're doing the dip when you walk, you know?
But if they think it's cool to only have one eye?
Yeah, because of the patch, because it looks cool. It looks like the Raiders helmet. The other thing that
What do you mean the one-legged dip?
If you've seen people with plastic legs, they do the deep dip when they walk.
That's not true. I grew up with my dad's best friend who lost both arms and was totally disfigured.
You live with him?
I grew up around this man.
Oh, okay.
He had no arms. His face was disfigured. I never once looked at another person strange because of growing up in that environment.
Was your father in the circus, or was he a...
This was probably a wounded veteran, you idiot.
This was an electrocution accident while he was working.
I take grave exception to you calling me an idiot.
Well, what do you mean, did he grow up in a circus?
He is an idiot. This man is an idiot.
For another example is a kid raised... Oh, I'm an idiot. You're the one that's scratching the next 50 cent or Lincoln Park, and I'm the one helping kids, and I'm an idiot.
You don't have any idea what I carry on my radio station, so don't generalize me onto what you think I might or might not carry. That has nothing to do with it.
So, in other words, you play country music.
How do you know? I carry this show is what I carry.
Three guesses, the first two don't count.
I carry this show on my radio station is what I carry.
Are you the program director?
I am the traffic director.
Hey, Henry.
Don't ever call me by my last name.
Thank you.
My name is Phil.
Sorry.
Don't ever say, hey, Henry, to me. Only my friends get to call me that.
Sorry. I just...
Do you have... Does this guy have children?
What?
Do you have children?
Not that I know about.
I pray to God that you never do.
What's a traffic manager doing at a radio station?
Those are the people that schedule the commercial. What difference does it make? We're talking about you with your... And what do you mean kids that are the children of people that are hearing impaired go, huh? What?
They do!
All right, thank you very much, Jessica, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Maxine, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Maxine?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Hi. Just have to say that this guy is absolutely the most idiotic person I've ever in my life listened to.
Let me
say something. You're going to take every single child whose father abandoned them and put them in a home every other weekend or two weekends a month with two parents, and that's going to make the child's stability and make him a better person?
Abandon them? No, I'm talking about whose mother has one leg.
Okay, but my point is, you're saying you're going to be affected. What happens? You don't think a child is affected when a father abandons them and he sees them, walks out, packs his clothes, and leaves?
Good point.
He's not going to be affected, so we should take all the children.
Good point.
Whose parents leave them and put them in another home and say, well, now you're in a two-parent home every other weekend.
What is your comment? What's your comment to that, Dr. Dotter?
I agree with the lady that a child is affected, but not as seriously as what they have a one-legged parent. What do you call a one-legged woman? By the way, Maxine, what do you call a one-legged woman?
A normal person with just one leg.
No. Eileen. Get it? And
okay, Dr. Dotter, I don't want to hear your stupid jokes.
You are absolutely the most ignorant person. I hope you don't have children because they're going to be mentally challenged because of you. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
What?
Because a mother has one leg. You're going to take the child out and put her in a home.
No, just for two weekends a month. That's all.
What is the purpose of that? What is
the
purpose?
So the kid can be around.
The child is still going to come back to the same environment. What is it going to prove? What purpose?
Because then he knows that there are parents that have two legs each.
I'm sure everybody else in this child's family has two legs. What is the difference? If they're loved and nurtured, they're going to look beyond that. It's a normal thing.
Can I cite another report from the University of Arkansas? This is children who were raised by little people or people who had what is called endocrinitis or a dwarfism is what it's called.
Dwarfism.
Yeah.
Children raised by dwarfs grow up to be fine.
Except they have a significant slouching problem. Because
why?
Oh my God, you are absolutely off the wall. You are completely off the wall. I don't know what drugs you're taking, but you're nuts.
What?
You are completely nuts. This is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Why slouching?
If I'm
in an accident and I lose my arm, I'm going to take my two children and send them away for two weekends a month because they're going to see two people who have two arms and two arms. That's the stupidest thing. My kid's going to love me if my arm falls off or I break my arm or I lose my arm. My kid's going to love me just the same. He's not going to be affected by it. I can't even believe your reasoning. This is absolutely insane.
Look, ma'am, okay, what do you call a guy with no arms and no legs water skiing?
What has that got to do with the tea in China?
What did it say?
Skip.
Now, what has that got to do with the tea in China?
What?
Listen,
what has it got to do with the tea in China? That's got nothing to do with it. You are saying to take a child out of the home because
yes,
he's going to see his mother with just one leg?
Right, but I'm not saying take the child away. I'm just saying 2 days a month he'll be with the two-legged people. Then he can go back to one-legged...
You're talking like he's a dog. I mean, this is ridiculous.
No, he's not a dog. Look...
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs laying on the ground?
Matt.
You need to get some severe counseling yourself.
Absolutely.
You need counseling. Your parents must have been a little bit deranged because there's something mentally wrong with you. This is the stupidest topic I've ever heard.
Take
a child out because the mother has a prosthesis. That's the dumbest thing.
I work with kids.
So do I.
And I can tell you, okay, what's a guy with
no more no arms and no legs jokes? No more of those.
Well, you heard the last.
I heard the last one. Yeah, Matt, funny.
I mean, if a, Well, what's with the and with the jackass, the last one with the train running over?
Well, she said that her brother had no leg, and I said, how'd that happen? She had a railroad accident, and she didn't want to get into it. Now, let me ask you something, ma'am.
It was her prerogative not to. He got run over, whatever it was.
But that's what I'm trying to say.
How is that going to affect the child?
I'll tell you. If he's got a father who wants to be the next contestant on Jackass, and he's getting his leg crushed over by a train or lighting farts or anything.
All right. Thank you very much.
What'd you do?
I hung up on the lady to let her get on with her day.
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs laying in a pile of leaves?
Russell.
That's right. What do you call it?
Forget it. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to one more phone call here, Mr. Dowder. Marie, go ahead. Hi. Marie.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, okay.
What do you call a guy with...
Shut up and let the lady talk.
I think it's just totally disgusting. You know, we have all these poor children that are beaten to death by parents who are abusive, and somebody with a slight disability is a perfectly fine parent.
Slight? Having only one leg?
Yes.
I'd say that's more than slight.
Well, I also had a limp my whole life, and my daughter never imitated that, ever.
She taught her
to walk.
She didn't start out limping.
No.
And they can love...
She didn't never stutter either, and I've always had a stuttering problem.
You're not stuttering now?
No, because I'm mad. I don't stutter when I'm mad.
Compared to you, Dr. Dowder, who's...
What?
I don't know. You sound out of it or something. And you know what? People with only one leg can love.
Well, they can love, but only...
We had to dump that lady. She said the B word.
The R word?
What R word? B word. B-S word.
B-S. B-S.
You think about it, okay?
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686.
Oh, cool. The nickel slot.
Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Food Bar. The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Food Bar.
The voice in the preceding bit of Jeff Dowder was performed by me, and the people to call were real people. And just a memo to either Jamie Kennedy or Brian Whitman, if you couldn't write fast enough, your tape recorders weren't working. You can hear this again on my website, www.philhenryshow.com. All of our shows are archived up to 30 days. We also have our comedy archives. It's all there. And it's all good. Now we have a flashback from... Rich Slauson, attorney Rich Slauson, who said showing Scott Peterson the autopsy photos of his dead wife and baby, that's cruel and unusual punishment. I mean, even though he killed them, he loves them.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Rich, what is this, a big joke? He had an affair. His wife was 8.5 months pregnant. All he cared about was his girlfriend, I guess, Amber, and what was going to happen to him. Then there's evidence that he cleaned up his house. There was bleach, I guess, in his kitchen.
Oh, you don't clean your house?
Blood.
You don't clean your house?
I don't clean my house.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
if you don't clean,
I do.
Some
but
people
not,
do.
Not when my husband and my child are missing.
Some people clean their homes.
Well, bull. I can't say the rest of it.
Some people
then
clean
what
their
about
homes.
When he decided to take off with his blonde wig or his bleach blonde hair, his scads of money,
I'm not
survival
saying he
gear.
Didn't do it. I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm not saying he did do it.
Then if you're saying that he did it and that he now is crying for a child and a woman that he actually, at his hands, murdered, you're a joke.
I think that the guy could be a suicide case.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? He would save the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars and we'd get rid of more scum because there's enough walking the earth already.
I think that this would be a tragic loss of human life.
Well, then maybe somebody should teach you. Maybe you didn't learn very much, Rich.
Are you a lawyer?
I should be, though, because apparently you don't do too good of a job of it.
So why don't you let me do the investigation, and you can just clean your house, which you say you don't do. That would be a nice project.
Because apparently you're not doing a very good job to have sympathy. Empathy? Maybe you killed a few people, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. No, I haven't killed anybody, but I can tell you what. I clean my bathtub occasionally, so I'll do the investigation, and you scrub out a toilet. How about that?
No, I don't think so. I think that maybe a quarter of your attorney that charges 25 cents because anybody has more brains than you do.
This man was a brilliant fertilizer salesman. What do you do for a living? I'm just kidding. What do you do for a living?
You know what fertilizer is made from? That's who you are and your client.
Let me ask you something. What do you do for a living when you're not on your back?
What do I do for a living?
Yeah, when you're not on your back with your legs up in the air. What do you do?
What am I doing for a living?
All right, okay, come on.
No, she started it.
Listen, you're a bum.
You know,
you know why you're a bum? Because you have to stoop to such a level.
I am
because you don't have the intellect to compete with anybody of my intellect.
Your intellect? You haven't showed me intellect. You don't even clean a toilet.
I gave you four good reasons. Four good reasons.
What?
He has motive, and you said even if he did it, he could feel remorse.
He
feels remorse after he did it?
He feels horrible about that kid.
He feels horrible? Why
yes.
don't you go into the jail with him and maybe you could console him?
Look, why don't you go watch Judge Judy and get a little more material?
If you had Judge Judy's brain, maybe you would be doing something better with your life than feeling
loved that
empathy,
child.
Not sympathy,
and,
empathy. I think maybe you killed a few people.
I want to jump in here and ask, if he loved his wife,
Rich, you're a friggin' ass.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, there you go. That preempted anything I had to say. That's Rich Schlosson. He's our attorney character who sounds like a few of the others. Whatever, man. You know, Henry, you don't do very good voices. I know that. We do characters, man. We do characters. We don't do voices on this show. But that's something that the world of radio don't get. I read something the other day. What was it? Oh, you remember when we had on Jeff Dowder and he said that, what do they bury the corn god in? A cornhole, right? Jeff Dowder said that. But there's a radio website out there that quoted it. They said, that's kind of like saying, this is business, this isn't personal, James Caan. I mean, no, James Caan didn't say it. Sonny Corleone said it, for crying out loud. But in radio, you're just a host. Okay, Phil, you're just a host. Just be a host now. Well, I'm kind of an actor, too. An actor! Look, Tim Robbins, there's an actor. Sean Penn. Who's the guy he's married to? What do you mean, guy? Bob Streisand? Oh, Barbara, yes. Streisand's an actor, too. Actress. No, you're just a host, Phil, so you just go ahead and be a host. So that's what we're up against. It's just so terrible. The money wasn't so great. 1-800-449-8686. The number here, Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with more.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I was in Miami during the 96 Olympics. I was just about ready to come back home to Los Angeles, and I recall when the Centennial Park bomb went off, a woman was down in Atlanta with her daughter. She'd come down from North Atlanta, and they were going to go down to enjoy the Olympics together. It had been something they were planning for a long time, and they finally were able to have a weekend together, maybe a week together as mother and daughter, and spend it at the Olympics. And it was that evening that the bomb went off. They were in Olympic Park, in Centennial Park, and this woman died. She was killed as a result of the bomb going off. There was also a Turkish photographer there covering the Olympics for Turkish media, a father of some 3-4 children. He was running after the bomb went off and had a heart attack and died. And this guy, Eric Rudolph, that they popped today, They're trying to tell me that all of this is justified because he was attacking abortion clinics, too. Maybe. I don't know what the Centennial Park has got to do with any of that. I don't know what killing an innocent woman and an innocent man, as far as I'm concerned, he's guilty of killing that guy, too. I don't know what that's got to do with anything. The point being, they got this guy, Eric Rudolph, who's on the top 10 list, and it's too bad they don't still have the electric chair down there in Florida. Maybe they could ship it up to Atlanta and cook that guy slow, man, because I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy watching you cook, Rudolph, almost as much as when they strapped that stupid son of a guy, McVeigh, down and let him have it. What's with this lethal injection, man? We're treating these people like you treat a German Shepherd. German Shepherd has far more humanity in it than either one of these guys. These guys ought to just roast. That's how you put down a dog or a cat. You give them a little lethal injection, huh? This guy, Eric Rudolph, he's a Christian identity member, is that what he is? Boy, you've never in your life seen a group of more deluded, conflicting thinking idiots than these white supremacists. These guys haven't got logic one going for them. It's just really hard to, it's tough for me to, where do you start with a guy like this? I took this kind of personally, I don't know why, I just took it personally. When that bomb went off in Centennial Park, it was the most predictable thing in the world. You knew somebody was going to do something like that. You just knew it. You just knew that something was going to happen. Unfortunately, the authorities in Atlanta, not bright enough to stop it. And then, of course, I, along with a million other guys on the radio that day, as soon as they busted that Richard Jewell guy, we were all over him. Turned out he was innocent. And no amount of apologizing to that guy is probably going to ever make up for it. But I tell you what, I apologize, Richard. Okay, I'm done. The rest of you guys better start in. And the FBI, man, you guys got a long way to go. Anyway, it turns out it's this bag of crap, this Eric Rudolph. Some stupid white boy who was raised in the white supremacist mold by his dumb mother, some trailer trash, dragged off to the meetings of the white supremacists by his mammy. And they'd sit around and talk about how they were a superior race. You really love that. A bunch of white folks with no teeth, they barely bathe, and they call themselves superior. And this guy Rudolph is out bombing abortion clinics because he doesn't believe in killing babies. Now, does that count for the black ones too, Eric? And how about those Jewish ones? Uh-oh, a little mistake there, huh? You know, there may be some doctors aborting black and Jewish babies. You ever think about maybe they deserve to live in your philosophy of things? Or it stands for all kids. Okay, so in other words, all babies deserve to live until they grow up to be adults and they're Jewish and black, then you kill them too, right? What, are you stupid or something? Well, I know the answer to that. You're as stupid as everybody else that believes what you believe. And all of these crackers up there in the hills in North Carolina that were harboring this guy, I hope they find every last one of them too and string them up. I hope they find every last toothless one of them and hang them from the highest yardarm. This guy's a murdering piece of garbage. Just a murderer. He's a serial murderer, too. You know what a serial murderer is, don't you? That's Ted Bundy. That's what this guy Rudolph is. He's no better than Henry Lee Lucas, Ted Bundy, Richard Ramirez, or that guy that murdered all those boys and stuffed them under his house. What was that guy's name? The guy that made the clown suits and stuff. He was a clown. John Wayne Gacy. That guy. That's Eric Rudolph. No better than those guys. No better. He's the same piece of trash. Now this guy takes off around 1998 after he butchers up another human being in a bombing. Bombed an abortion clinic. I think he maimed a nurse, killed a cop. So right there. You're dead. You kill a cop. I mean, you've seen enough television to know, right? You kill a cop and they really want you, right? Wasn't that how it was in The Fugitive? So you knew right then and there his days were numbered. So now 1998, the guy goes on the lam, and the word is he's getting help from people up there in the hills. Who are you people? Do you really honestly believe that the abortion movement has something to do with dead babies? Do you really honestly believe that this has something to... If it had to do with the death of children, why are there so many Nazis involved in that movement? If the abortion movement had to do with saving children's lives, why are there so many Nazis, white supremacists, and other fringe garbage involved in your movement? I'll tell you why. It's not about saving babies. It's about controlling women. It's always been about controlling women. That's all it's about. Those guys couldn't care less. If 85 billion Jewish babies burned up tomorrow in a big bonfire right out here outside our studios, they'd be out here, you know, serving hot dogs. It's about controlling women, particularly white women. That's what those guys are about. They're a bunch of old school, Bible-thumping, British-Israeli Christian identity, stupid people. Just as stupid as the day is long. Dumb as the Georgia clay. This bag of crap is one of these vestiges of the neo-Nazis in America. See, the Nazis, they got loose affiliations with the Christian right, too. Anti-Semitic, anti-female, anti-black. They still live in holes and eat out of garbage cans in rural Northwest America. Some of them are eating out of garbage cans. And right here in California, we got a few encampments of them. A couple in the Northeast. These people traditionally, by the way, are pro-capital punishment. That's the other thing. I wonder how they're going to feel watching their boy Rudolph get cooked. You going to feel good about that? Or is it lethal injection? I keep forgetting. I'm going to enjoy this almost as much as when they burned that guy McVeigh, but they didn't burn him either. I say bring it back, man. Bring it on back. So the day begins with good news. They grab this guy. Anybody that is a one of these hit-and-run anonymous, I can't stand these people that can't even stand up like men and say, I did it. You know, this is a moment, Eric, where you, if I may call you Eric and not scumbag, this is a moment where you could actually stand up like a man and admit you did it, right? But what are you going to do, man? You going to plead not guilty, huh? You going to hide like you were doing the last 5, 6, 7 years? What are you afraid of? I thought you're some kind of a big, tough guy. Boy, I remember when that thing went off. That bomb went off in Centennial Park. I don't know why, but as soon as I heard the news, I said, yeah, there you go. I knew it. Maybe I'm just a negative thinker or I'm a fatalist or something. I said, well, I knew that was going to happen. And then, of course, the saddest of all things, a mother and daughter down there to enjoy themselves and be together and have a little family time, and the woman's killed. And I'm supposed to stand here and listen to people tell me about how this guy has got a cause. He ain't got no cause, okay? He got no cause at all. He doesn't believe in anything. He doesn't stand for anything because he isn't anything. There's no cause that he stands for. You don't stand for, even if you really were somebody that believed that, the pro-life movement was about saving babies, which 90% of them don't. But let's just say you're one of these people that actually believes it's about saving babies. There's no way on God's earth you can justify what this piece of trash did. No way that you justify taking a life for a life like that. You're all a bunch of phonies. Your whole pro-life movement is trash. Hey, by the way, Maria, my wife is beginning to get a real smell of that whole right wing, that whole Republican Party thing, because my wife's been a Republican. She thinks she's been a Republican her whole life. And I said to her, you know, you're more liberal than me in a lot of stuff. She said, no, what are you talking about? I just believe in affirmative action. I said, don't say that around a bunch of Republicans. They don't believe in affirmative action. And I believe in gay rights. I said, oh, boy, there's strike two against your ass. Now you're going to tell me you believe in equal rights for women. Well, yes, I do. Oh, strike three. So that pro-life thing, too. There you go. There's an example of it. That's an example of that movement right there. Representative. People are going to tell you, well, no, it isn't, Phil, because, oh, yeah, no, that's exactly representative of that whole silly-ass movement. You know, if you knew anything, you people in that movement, if you knew anything, you'd know that, first of all, which, of course, you don't, but if you knew anything, you'd know that for 10,000 years of culture and beyond, women, it is a natural instinct on the part of women, natural instinct, which I think means God-given, which you know who he is, right? You claim to believe in him. It's a God-given instinct for women to control their fertility. They do it. They've been doing it. Women have been aborting fetuses since they were in caves. Before there was Christianity, before there was even any sense that God was going to punish them for doing it, it was an instinct to control their fertility, because maybe they can't feed that many babies, etc., etc. Today, we have the most clinical and effective means by way a woman can have some kind of a semblance of control over her own body, and we've got you, 16th century hillbillies running around planting bombs and shooting people in the back. In the back. Not like men, not with them facing you, in the back. The sooner they stick a blowtorch into every hole that these people live in and really turn it on up to broil, the better I'm going to like it. And when they cook this guy, he'll go down in history about as much as that Timothy McVeigh. You know me mentioning McVeigh's name now three times? That's the most times anybody's mentioned it since that guy went down for the count. That's how much they remember that tall, skinny, stupid son of a gun. Boy, do I feel good. Don't I sound like it? Don't I sound like I'm having a great day? Anyway, our number 1-800-449-8686. Well, I thought I'd just vent that a little bit. Maybe it's just since I don't like guys that are better looking than me. I think that's it. I'll give you that, Eric, man. You've got, you know, you're cuter than me. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Our website is philhenryshow.com. Coming up later in our program, we'll be talking with Jeff Dowder about the possibility that Heather McCartney having a baby may not be such a great idea. And also a few more comments about Sean Penn on the Phil Henry Show coming up.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, it doesn't matter who, they all got a website. Doesn't matter who you are, they all got a website. You can be completely anti, like Ted Kaczynski would have had a website had he lived long enough. You know, had he stayed free long enough, he'd have a website. Even though he doesn't believe in the mechanized society we live in, and he doesn't believe in all of the modern aids that we have and the entire technologic thrust of this world we live in, he'd have a website. He'd have a website. And I just looked up this Army of God that this guy Rudolph was in. They got a website. They got a website. Now, I want to ask you a question. I bet everybody's asked this question, but how come you get to have a website that encourages, you know, killing people and stuff? Why is that legal? I don't get it. You guys got to be putting me on, man. Of all the stuff they're chasing around, why don't you shut half these websites down? I thought it's not cool to encourage murdering people. Is that legal? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Is it legal or not? You mean I could take a website out saying kill Jews? It's a good thing to kill Jews? I mean, kill them. Not be against them, but kill them. Because this Army of God, they encourage blowing up abortion clinics. They thought it was really cool. They got a picture of the nurse that got injured in the bombing of that abortion clinic in Birmingham. They got a picture of her. She's all bloody. And they think it's great. So how come they get to have a website, but when I want to copyright www.sheepneedlove2, I can't get that URL because Pelton took it. Put it on a foreign web server and they can't trace me. Why don't we have good relations with the country, the government of Nigeria or wherever the hell these things are coming out of? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey. Phil, I got a little beef with you.
You got a little beef?
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that, man.
I listen to your show every single day. I have a backstage pass. I'm a conservative, but I agree with you almost all the time, except now I'm linked in the same category with this guy. And
well, look, you guys, whether you knowingly do it or not, you encourage this stuff.
How do we encourage that?
Because you're talking about it being murder, and you use the most extreme and the most inflammatory language. Naturally, a screwball like this is going to say, well, hell, if the government is going to take care of these murdering bastards, then I will. I mean, you guys use all of this inflammatory stuff that's only going to get a piece of crap like this riled up, well, and go out and shoot somebody in the back? Good God almighty. Well, and then planting bombs and killing. If he doesn't like killing innocent people, what the hell is he doing that for?
Phil, I want to see this guy fry just as much as everyone else.
Well, you guys got to knock it off with all of this stuff that encourages a guy like this, because that's what's going on.
I disagree that encourages anything.
Well, I think you do.
What? I don't. My calling murder is like calling.
if you say murder, 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 and they're getting away with murder, 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 isn't that going to piss off a few people after a while? And if the guy's really unbalanced, he's going to say, well, if this is a murder and he's getting away with it, I have to do something about it.
Well, if it's murder, then he should know that it's wrong to murder. He shouldn't. I mean,
no,
obviously
because that's not the way, that's not the language of the pro-life, so-called pro-life movement.
Yeah, but not every...
They don't make that distinction. They just say murder, 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 and these doctors are murderers. But, of course, the way that pro-life thing works, the doctors are murderers, but somehow the women aren't. I don't get that. It's just screwy, and it's going to confuse a guy like this until he goes out and puts his name in lights.
Well, you also said that we don't care about the kids. We just care about stopping women from doing what they want.
That's what I think.
Well, I think you're wrong. I don't understand how you could come to that conclusion.
Because there's too many groups involved in the pro-life movement that are really suspect. Why are Nazis attracted to it? What is that?
Well,
what's up with the Ku Klux Klan being involved in it? I mean, white supremacists? What is this? You know why? Because it's got this decidedly pro-male, man-controlling edge to it. All the people that run the so-called pro-life movement, they're all men. Why is that?
I think you're making it more complicated than it really
is. No. Why are they all men that run that movement? Why aren't there? I would think that women would be at the front of that.
Well, there's so many women, but they get silenced the second they talk out about it.
Why? What do you mean, silenced?
They're encouraged because they're not part of, you know, with the flow of the liberal women. They're not.
Wait. How come the guys get to talk?
The guys get to talk. Well, they can talk because it's wrong either way. I mean,
but the women can't. I don't get it, man. It sounds to me like the men in that movement are keeping those women quiet because they don't want they want her back in the kitchen tied to the stove.
So you think
dude, I'm telling you. Look, you know, I don't doubt your sincerity, swear to God, but I think the people that have co-opted whatever movement, you know, that thing is,
mm-hmm.
I think there's some scary people, and I don't think they care about babies. I think they only care about, they care about that good old-time religion, controlling
I
women.
Agree.
You know
I agree. I agree with you.
Because, look, this guy doesn't like Jews, right? And yet he doesn't like abortion. So like I said, does that mean you don't abort Jewish babies, or what? I don't understand.
I completely agree with you on that.
All right, well then you should become a Democrat and smoke dope.
I don't think I can.
All right.
Okay.
I'm pushing for medical marijuana use, though, for Republicans.
Well,
all right.
Then we might have a deal going on there.
There you go, brother. Thanks for listening, Aaron.
Hey, I will.
All right.
Uh-huh. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. He's got a backstage pass. Put that call through quicker. All backstage pass, from here on out, they go to the top of the line. Everybody with a backstage pass gets to the top of the line who call this show. Of course, we can check whether you're telling the truth or not against our database. So if you have a backstage pass and something viable and realistically marvelous to say, we will thrust you to the top of the line. And that's a standing order from here on out on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Jack Nicholson is an actor that kind of represents to my generation what, I don't know, maybe James Dean did to my folks or my older brother's generation, and what maybe, now I'm trying to think of an actor of comparable sort of iconoclasm into this generation. Who would you say that would be? That would be, Jesus. Because everybody's a rebel now. You know what I'm saying? In other words, everyone's outside of the mainstream now. It's like mainstream to be outside the mainstream. You know, I shouldn't say. I like Jason Patrick. I think he's brilliant. Quirky and brilliant. But he doesn't have the same star power, and that's a relative term, that Nicholson has had or has and has or did have and now have or have and have not. I don't know what I'm trying to say. In any event, I got a very interesting collection of quotes from a lot of different movies here because Nicholson's star is on the rise again because of the About Schmidt movie. Anger Management's got him back up there with Adam Sandler. And I've been a Jack Nicholson fan off and on my whole life ever since I saw Easy Rider. I didn't like a lot of movies he did, but I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Every time I saw Nicholson and I liked him, he wasn't playing Mr. Cool Sex Man. He was playing something screwy, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, as opposed to Witches of Eastwick. Yeah, we get it, Jack. We know you got babes, and they're just lined up around the block. I couldn't care less. Go do something on the screen that's really interesting. The movie, the part he played in Five Easy Pieces was fantastic. Easy Rider, fantastic. And one of my favorite Nicholson movies of all time that nobody ever likes to mention, The Last Detail, where he plays a shore patrol Navy guy along with Otis Young, and they're taking Randy Quaid, who's a big, tall Navy kid, to the brig in Portsmouth, Maine. Is that what it is? Yeah. So they're taking this kid on the train up to prison. And on the journey, they find out what a truly dumb and kind of innocent kid he is and that he's going to be going away for a long time for a really chicken crap kind of charge. I think he ripped off $9 from a collection cup. And the kid's going to be going into prison for like a long time. And they realize that this is an unfair world, so they show him a good time on the way. They get him drunk. They get him laid. They eat great sandwiches. They get into a couple of fights. It's kind of it's a buddy film. It's a buddy movie, no doubt about it. But it's a great flick, and Nicholson plays this just lower-middle-class lifer Navy guy who is pissed at the whole system because he knows his job better than anybody else, and the Navy's just making it difficult for him to do his job, and look what they're making me do. They're making me take this poor kid to prison, and I hate life. I think I'll go to New York and get drunk. That's just the great character that we like. They never mention this flick, though. I recommend you go see Last Detail. Rent it, buy it, get it on DVD, whatever you got to do, get it. Now, in recent years, Mr. Nicholson's teamed up with Sean Penn. Made a couple of movies with him, one of them called The Crossing Guard. Good flick. In fact, there ain't much about Sean Penn that I don't like. He's a great actor, and I've seen him on stage, and he's a damn good director. But, man, when he takes out them full-page ads in the New York Times talking about how he got misunderstood going to Baghdad and how he was made a monkey out of by the Baghdad authorities, otherwise known as Saddam Hussein and the gang, like that's my problem? This cat took, do you see this? Now, I didn't get a chance to talk about it on Friday. He takes out a full-page ad in the New York Times talking about how they made a chimp out of him in Iraq, and somehow that's the media's fault. You love that? We did it. This guy goes over there. He looks like bedtime for Bonzo over there. The hell is that? You hear that? Suddenly there was like a low-pitched screaming in our studio. Did you hear that, Chris? Sounded like you just slammed the door on a baby's hand. We heard a coming from the door. The baby's all right? Okay. Anyway, so Penn takes out this ad saying, you guys made an ape out of me, even a bigger monkey than they made out of me in Iraq, and I really feel bad, and yada, 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 about how, the United States of America and the big corporations and the Halliburtons and the Dick Cheneys, I mean, all of the usual predictable stuff. And how it's a corporate war and the dead, let's not leave out those dead Iraqi civilians, you gotta have those. You got to have. I'm the guy that said it, and I've been saying it all along, man. If you didn't have dead Iraqi civilians, you wouldn't have yourself a protest movement or an anti-war movement. You just wouldn't have it. It wouldn't be worth it. So thank God for the dead Iraqi civilians, huh, Sean? He says we had our Secretary of State presenting plagiarized material. Our flag has been waving, servicing a regime change, benefiting U.S. corporations. We've got chaos in the Baghdad streets. Yeah, that chaos in the Baghdad streets is terrible. I tell you what, let's put Hussein back in power and get that chaos out of the Baghdad streets. Because at least it was quiet and nobody noticed it and nobody was upset about it, right? Let me tell you some about guys like this that really bother me. It isn't that they got an anti-war view. When they start bagging on the media and talking about big corporations, nobody seems to notice the fact that these guys work for some of the biggest corporations the world has ever known. This guy Penn, or Robbins, or Clooney or any other of these other numbnuts works for Sony and Paramount and Warner Brothers and Fox. Sheen is another guy. He works for NBC. Yeah, that's a real itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny corporation, isn't it, man? Nothing compared to Clear Channel, the one I work for. We got radio stations. Are you guys saying that radio has the power? Because if you're telling me the radio has the power in a movie business, you're just getting all trod over and you're having to bend over and grease up. Then I want a raise. And I mean a big raise. I mean Sean Penn-style bread. You mean he makes less than me? Then I want some of that Warren Beatty money. You got to be kidding me. The big corporations. The big corporations. What do you call Sony and Fox? What kind of a propaganda mill do you call that? Look, dude, you may be right about the conservative bent of radio these days. It happens to be what's selling. It's probably going to flop back over to the liberal side sooner or later, as soon as the conservatives keep making dopes out of themselves. That won't be anytime soon. They seem to have a president here that knows what he's doing, to a point. Of course, the Democrats don't know how to make a point. They don't know how to make a good point. And even though I may be a registered Democrat, I ain't about to do it for you guys, because that's what this show is about anyway. Now, moving along. You know, there may be a conservative bent. There may not be. There may be a way that things are done here. There may not be. This is just the way. This is the game, baby. That's showbiz, you know? What the hell is wrong with you guys? And you cats aren't pitching? You guys aren't over there with your particular point of view? Give me a break. You guys aren't throwing a couple of them little curveballs yourselves, huh? Your attitudes about America and life in America. So, in other words, the only commentary that can be done on the status of America, American culture, American life and politics is by the movie business, huh? Because when we do it in the radio game, somehow we are servicing the President of the United States and helping Halliburton and all of them. Look, you guys have got this artist thing. It's gone to your head. All these people in Hollywood, they got this artist thing going. See, they're artists. Did you know about that? Oh, yeah. They make art. And so, therefore, they march and they talk about the horror of society. And, oh, my God, they can't find a good gourmet chef. You know, it's just terrible. Like Sean Penn and Jack Nicholson, any of these guys got anything in common with some SAG member that's making under 5 G's a year. Like, you got something in common with a guy. And don't tell me you came up the hard way, man. We all did. It's where you are right now. I acknowledge that I work for a big corporation. Why don't you do the same thing? You think you're going to get a movie greenlit over there that's gonna offend people? You think that you're going to get a movie greenlit over there? Unless, of course, you can make yourselves a guaranteed, like, a half a billion dollars within 3 weeks. Then maybe. They're pulling movies off the shelf left and right. They're taking movies out of the theater. After 9/11, how many movies did they pull out of the movie theaters? They pulled that Terminator flick. Didn't they pull a Schwarzenegger piece of garbage? And then they finally released it. It was like, holy Jesus. Man, you ain't running for governor anytime too soon, pal. I'd say a run for the governorship is what you need right about now. Because you can't make any movies, that's for sure. Although my kids tell me the T3 is pretty good. They say it's pretty good. But what do my kids know? My kids told me that Mystery Men was good. Holy Jesus. Holy God. Really? It's bitching? Really? Yeah, look, man, I'm not going to take your word. What are you talking about? It's really good. Yeah, I know you think it's good. I know you think it's good. What do you mean we think it's good? We know it's good. But you're just a kid, man. You don't know what a good movie is yet. What? Look, I granted, you know, Spider-Man was pretty good. Pretty good? So let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
Did you like X-Men, the original X-Men? Did you like the X-Men 2?
I liked X-Men 2 way, way better, but it wasn't as good.
Oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Hey, how'd you like that Collateral Damage?
It was great!
Yeah, it was in the movie. I was going to see it myself, but it went direct to video 3 minutes after they released it. So,
what are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? I can't go to freaking Blockbuster with my kids and get a movie and walk out of there with something that I want to see for love or money. Because I guarantee you on a Saturday night, we get done having dinner someplace, and the big idea comes out, let's go to Blockbuster, rent a movie. And I'm thinking, you know, my hope, my heart sails for a few seconds. I go, yeah, let's do it. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. And then I realize I'm with four kids and my wife. What do you think my shot is at getting my movie in there? And guess what we wind up renting for the 50th time? You got it, Little Nicky. Just for a brief moment, my heart sings as I think we're about to rent a movie that I can dig. Like, what's a movie I dig? All right, you know, I like the Shawshank Redemption, I figure, is a good, happy medium, right? But my wife isn't going to like that. The boys might. My wife isn't going to like it, so can't get that. So what else did I want him to see? I'm going to insist The Pianist has just come out on video. I will insist that all the kids see that movie. I'm going to insist that they see. What do you want to see that, man? You're going to watch it and you're going to love it. What's it about? It's about World War II, about a man surviving the horror of the Nazi occupation of Warsaw. About a man slowly but surely clinging to life. About a man who is clinging to his every breath. A man who doesn't, when he wakes up in the morning, know whether he's going to live or die. In short, it's a story about me. Being a stepdad. Can we play Halo while we watch it? If I see that Halo game come out, you know where it's going, don't you? You know where it's going. Not the pool. Oh, yeah. Into the pool. Yes, there you go. Now you guys are learning. That's it. Man, wherever you are, Peter, I think that's your name. Just met the guy one night at a party. But I'll never forget, this guy's my hero. He took the whole N64 game and he threw it right into the pool. And he had this placid look on his face. I said, you're kidding. He goes, no, and he's British. He says, no, it's what I did. It's the kids that just, why? Well, he's pissing me off, you know. And I didn't do what I asked him to do. And so I just went upstairs and, fancy another drink, do you? Yeah, I'll take another drink. I went upstairs, I grabbed it, just right in there. I said, no kidding. Oh, yeah. Floated right to the bottom? Run right to the bottom. Did you go get it? No, I didn't go get it. I'll have one of the kids go get it. I said, dude, give me five. He says, all right. You are my hero, man. And one of these days, one of these days when I'm better looking, richer, in other words, not anytime soon, I'm going to do the same thing. How'd I start out on Sean Penn and get to throw a Nintendo? Well, it's the same thing, right? It's either Sean Penn or N64. You want to throw both of them in the pool. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we'll be talking with Jeff Dowder about Heather McCartney. Should she have a baby? She's only got one leg. According to Jeff, that ain't so good. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
And then another report comes out, and my kids are the first ones to read this, and then they'll come to me and say, see, this is a report, it's a study, and it was reported by Associated Press. All those hours spent playing video games may not be wasted time after all. A new study suggests action-packed video games like Grand Theft Auto 3 and Counter-Strike may sharpen your mind. Researchers at the University of Rochester found that young adults who regularly played video games full of high-speed car chases and blazing gun battles showed better visual skills than those who did not. First of all, yeah, if you play video games, or hey, how about baseball? Does the same thing. Well, you know what this is? This is like trying to Sony sponsored this report. My ass, University of Rochester. Next time you see a report on anything, find out who paid for it. Find out who paid for it. Yes, Sony Corporation, the same guys that own Sony Pictures, the guys that, you know, sometimes employ Sean Penn. Yeah, those guys. Well, anyway, you know, little tiny itsy-bitsy ma-and-pa operation, Sony. Well, anyway, they sponsored this research, and guess what? What? video games are good for you. Oh, well, then that answers the question. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that I happen to be in the business. Yeah, it's crazy. How did that happen? I don't know. I decided one day that I would invent video games, and then I decided, well, why don't I just sponsor this report by the University of Rochester and see if they're bad for you? Turns out they're good for you. Oh, okay. How much did the report cost? Only about $35 million. Put a whole new wing there on the end of the University of Rochester, wherever that is. I know, Rochester, New York. University of Rochester? What, does that, excuse me, am I supposed to suddenly say, oh, well, Jesus, knock my socks off, University of Rochester. You see what I'm saying? In other words, Johns Hopkins, okay. UC, University of California, Berkeley, maybe. Duke, Stanford, Harvard, Yale. I just have a problem. Sometimes you just slap the name of a school on it, and I'm supposed to just get up and go, well, fan my brow. Yes, researchers at Yankton College, South Carolina, said today, by the way, we have this report in, cigarettes are actually good for you. They put 2 additional inches, and forgive me if there are any children, but they actually put 2 additional inches on your penis, and they aerate the lungs very nicely. And this was a report at the University of Virginia, sponsored by Marlboro Cigarettes. Now, moving on to other... Well, that's just great. Yeah. See, video games, hand-eye coordination. Remember this, kids. That proves to your parents that they're okay for you. However, football, basketball, baseball, they also improve hand-eye coordination, and probably better. See, that's what they don't tell you. All they're saying is, you know, these video games, they do good stuff. Now we have Dr. Schwenk from the University of Rochester. Doctor, what do you think?
The video game report that we have here, it's good. No, there's nothing wrong with it.
All right, thank you.
All right, when I get paid.
Right over here.
No, I think it's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. We had kids. They sat. They played. They ate. They took time out. They went in the pool, and then they come in and they play this Halo and Myth and Counter Strike and what have you. And I don't know.
Do they seem okay?
Yeah, they look okay to me.
That proves once again that Sony produces games that make your kid a genius. Yes, his cranium size will be about 16 extra inches in circumference, which will make him look like that big-headed freak on Outer Limits. Yes. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449. Don't you remember the big-headed freak on Outer Limits? You don't remember Outer Limits? You know TV? Okay. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Is that comb-over boy wears his shades while he's doing his show? Boy, he desperately wants to be hip, doesn't he? You know, just because you wear your sunglasses while you're doing your show, comb over, don't make you hip. While he's doing his show, he wears his sunglasses. You know, you people with the indoor sunglass wearing, just give it a rest. Well, you know, I just, what? What happened? Is it too bright in here, man? I don't like to have people look at me. Oh, get out of here. Take your sunglasses off and stare at people with those bloodshot blinkers of yours. With those vodka-heated blinkers of yours. Hey, comb over, what do you think? Somebody's going to wander by with a camera from the New York Times and take your picture of that just scintillating show you do, that really original act you got? Is that what you think is going to happen? Somebody from Time Magazine is going to kick the door in and want to get a picture of you. Better have those shades on. So, you know, you can look hip. And I wear sunglasses when I'm on the air. I want to ask you a question. Would you do it with a pregnant dead woman? Give me a call. Would you do it? And I'm going to be honest with you. Can my voice get any higher? I actually had sex with a dead pregnant woman. I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't bad. Really? Really? Jesus. You call that an act? Do you call that a show? You do? All right. You have fun, comb over, but take those shades off, man. God, what is it with the people with the indoor sunglass wearing? You know, I have the instinct sometimes. Like, I'll walk out of the car, I'll have my sunglasses on, and I just don't want to take them off because they feel so comfortable. They do feel comfortable. Even the light, even the indoor light can sometimes be harsh. And they do give you, you don't have to, the people don't have to see you. But I take them off anyway because I don't want to look like a 24-karat gold-plated a-hole. I don't want to look like a 24-karat gold-plated anus. Sphincter boy. Oh, hi, sphincter boy. I mean, hi, Phil. Nice to see you. With your sunglasses on. The only people in the world that can wear sunglasses indoors without looking like sphincters are blind people. Do you understand? Blind people. They're the ones that are supposed to wear sunglasses indoors. Everybody, you know what can I say something? I don't want to mention any names, but I was at the Aspen Comedy. Remember when I did the show from the Aspen Comedy Festival? And it was a lot of fun. Well, after we did an hour Thursday, we did an hour Saturday. It was Thursday night. After the hour show we did on Thursday, they had a party that was sponsored by, at these festivals, you know, a magazine will be sponsoring parties throughout the hotel. And this party, I think, was sponsored by Details Magazine, I think. Something, one of those guys. So we got an invitation. And the way you get these invitations, you just wrangle an invitation. Just go, hey, do you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody? We got four of us got in it. Me and Taylor and my wife and my good buddy David Katz from New York. So we all get in there. And towering above the crowd, that's about 9:30 at night. So everybody immediately goes to the bar, and then they all just cram into the middle of the room, and they got models walking through. Frankly, I don't know why what this party was supposed to be, other than you can meet and greet, and I guess it's network. So we're there, and I'm having a couple of pops. I'm talking to a guy. Towering above the crowd is this one very famous comic, because he's very tall. I don't want to say his name. And he's wearing sunglasses, and it's 9:30 at night in an already dim room. No, it's not Brad Garrett. Think older and not as funny, but funny, and uglier. I shouldn't say uglier, because there's nobody uglier than me. So I should just think older, not as funny, and, you know, not as handsome as Brad. Well, as handsome as Brad. And I'm thinking, what do you mean, Michael McKean? No, it wasn't him. No, Michael was there. He was laying on the floor. They had an ambulance. It was fine. So this guy is towering above the crowd with a sunglass. What the hell is that about? What are you? Look, dude, if you don't want to be recognized, don't be at the party. What the hell are you coming to a party for with sunglasses on? I could see checking into a hotel. The real stretch is checking into a hotel. You don't want anybody to bug you. You put your sunglasses. Okay, I guess. It's like, did I tell you the time when Maria and I were on a vacation down in Mexico? And we're down at this hotel in Mexico, right? And I think I told the story on the air, but I haven't told it in a long time. And it'll burn up about 3 hours, or 3 minutes, I should say. I could make it 3 hours, and then we'll get into our break. So I'm looking, and I'm laying there near the pool. And it's a nice pool on the beach, and it's just really gorgeous. And coming down the beach, I see this fat slob with this gorgeous chestnut-skinned model. I mean, she's a knockout with this fat tub of guts with shades on and a hat, right? Well, what the hell is that, you know? So the day before, one of the kids at the hotel said, Senor, tomorrow a big movie star is coming. Big movie star. He wants a Jeep. He wants to have his food delivered to the room. Oh, that's great. So I realized maybe this is the movie star. So we're laying there. The hotel only had about 30 people in it because it was one of those, it was off season. So all of us are around the pool. We all got to, it's like being on a cruise almost. Landon, well, here comes this fat tub of guy. It's Val Kilmer. Yeah. And he'd just gotten done doing that movie where he's a blind guy. And I guess it was so bad that he just sort of ate the nervousness away or something. I don't know what happened, but yeah, he played the blind guy. What's it called? My eyes don't work, or you gouge my eyes out. What happened really? And it's tragic. He ate the whole cast of the film. I'm kidding around. One of the greats, Val Kilmer. Seriously, see him in Tombstone, see him in The Doors, see him in Heat. Great man, great, great actor, but what a tub of guts you are, Val, if you don't watch your weight, man. Batman, fantastic. Boy, what that babe you were with, what a beauty. What a beauty. And he has the shades on with the hat pulled down, and I thought, well, you know what, I can dig it. He don't know. But the thing of it is she came up and scouted the area before he would walk up from the beach. I'd probably go up there, honey, and see if there's any, like, weirdos that want my autograph. Who gives a crap? He came up. Everybody at that pool knew it was him. And then nobody bugged him. Nobody wanted to bug him. He's got the hat pulled down with the shades, right? Maybe then I can dig that. But you don't go to a party standing 6'5" above the whole crowd with your shades on like no one's going to... Oh, yeah, okay, that's not the guy that I thought... Thank you. I don't want to mention who it was, but Mr. Belzer, you really don't need to do that. These are your peers, and I'm sure none of them will want your autograph. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Who's that big, tall guy with the shades on? That wouldn't be Richard Belzer. No, of course it isn't. What makes you... He's got sunglasses on. How can you tell? It's Brad Garrett. Richard, take a tip from me. This is what I do when I go in public. Instead of shades, I wear a mask. I'm fooling around. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know that show Fear Factor? What? Wait a second. Everybody thinks that show is, like, really daring? Everybody watches this Fear Factor. Did you see what they... And I watched it the other night. What big deal, man? A guy had to eat a couple of scorpions. So what? Are you kidding? Well, I would never do... Well, maybe you wouldn't do it. I'd do it. What are you talking about? Well, I mean, you know, just say that to anybody who thinks Fear Factor is such an extreme show, which it's not. Fear Factor is the most tame. There have been a lot of conservative shows on TV in recent years. I mean, the last few years marks a high water mark for conservative, restrained television. But never has a show come on the air that is tamer, lamer, more... way under the radar than Fear Factor. Okay, well, how about eating a yolk from an ostrich egg? I don't care. It's fine with me. What are you talking about, man? I'm the producer of Fear Factor. You got to do something that grosses you out. What do you want me to do? Here, eat this. It's a baby. It's the fetus of a human. Sounds good to me. Pass the salt. What? What? This is Fear Factor, man! Everything we do on this show is gross! You guys suck. You ain't done one thing yet that's grossed me out. You just ate a baby fetus and doesn't gross you out? No, I like them. I have them, it's every Thanksgiving. Every Easter, we've given up ham, and now we're going for the full human abortion thing. I like it. And I know it's kind of a little, you know, a little gamey. Tastes like chicken to some people. What are you talking about? Dude... Your show ain't scary at all. It ain't scaring me. Doesn't scare any of the friends that I have. Doesn't scare anybody. No, Fear Factor is lame. Let me tell you what you do, guys, with Fear Factor. The most daring show on TV to date is this show, Boy Meets Boy, where they're going to have a straight guy and a gay guy is going to come on to him, but he won't know that he's straight. You follow me? Of course you don't. But the fact is... I don't know what this means. A gay guy's going to want a straight... The way it translated out to me is two straight guys are going to have sex with each other. That's what it comes down to. Now, you want a great show, that's it. Not that I'd watch it, but why won't Fear Factor go there? Oh, a little too risque for you, huh? Oh, well. You really want to go to Fear Factor, get two guys on there. Tonight on Fear Factor, two men have sex with each other. They confront their fear of anal sex. Yeah, okay, man. Listen, are you willing to confront your fears, Phil? Yeah, sure. Okay, have sex with that guy. What are you talking about? You're not confronting your fears. No, that's a fear I don't want to confront. It's not really even a fear. It's more like a just a. It's not my. It's like I'll pass. Okay, I've got other things to do. Confront your fears on Fear Factor. Have sex with another guy. That's when you're going to get the viewership up. Until then, the stuff you guys do is just strictly from hunger, man. Strictly from freaking hunger. By the way, I don't want to mention any names, but George Norrie is dating that gal from... Didn't she win on Fear Factor? She's gorgeous. That date that George brought to the... to the premier Christmas party was unbelievable. She was a beautiful knockout. Knockout, George's date. And then I find out that she won on Fear Factor. She ate like 16 lobster eggs or something. I don't know what she did. She had something crawling on her face. Later on, George had something crawling on his... No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking around. George is a... He's a great guy. I love him. You should listen to George. He has taken over and filled the... Well, nobody's going to fill the shoes of Art Bell, but George takes a crack at being his own man and terrific. And that, I'm telling you, George, your taste in women is fantastic. And how old was she? 16? That's so great, George. I'm very proud of you, dude. Boy Meets Boy Show. Imagine a TV dating show in which a gay guy has the hots for another gay guy, only the producers have fooled him, and it turns out the other guy is straight. No, it's not the never-aired episode of the Jenny Jones Show. It's Boy Meets Boy, a dating reality series coming to Bravo Cable Network this summer. The six-episode series, shot over 8 days in Palm Springs, features a gay guy who thinks he's getting the chance to pick a mate from 15 gay guys. Only when he has winnowed the pool considerably does he learn that some of them guys is not gay, it is straight. If the leading man picks a gay guy to be his mate, he wins a cash prize and a vacation with his guy of choice. Should he pick a straight guy, then the straight guy gets to beat him almost to death and leave him in an alley. Say, that's swell. Executive producer Doug Ross told the TV column, to get them to do this on television, you have to dangle more than a sociological experiment. Speaking of dangling, Doug shouldn't talk. End quote. You know, I don't know. I'm going to say this, and people will think I'm being... I can verify this, though. My instinct is correct. But also the timing is correct. You know, down through the years, many people bring originality to the world of entertainment. In radio, it's no different. There have been a great many terrific original artists, and some of whom are still working, and some of whom I admire. But I'm going to tell you this right now, and I don't care what anybody says. All this stuff on game shows and radio shows and TV shows about goofing people is the direct result of our show coming on the air in this town in 1996. I am not kidding you. I am not. You look at the state of TV back in 96 and radio. And when I got to Los Angeles, oh, my God. Oh, my God. This nighttime radio here. Well, nighttime radio in general is horrific. But here it was unspeakably bad. Now, all of a sudden, I get on the air. And guess what? All these cats are coming on, and they're going to do shtick at night now, and they're taking off all that sports talk. And on top of that, I start getting calls from this studio and that one and the TV guy here and another TV guy there. And, hey, we're going to do something on television with what you do. Yeah, we'll do something on TV with what I do. I'll tell you what they did is they took my act and gave it to Jamie Kennedy. That's what they did. Now they're doing this, fooling people. The difference from what we do and the rest of this lame-ass stuff is that nobody, every time these cats do some kind of shtick where they got a phony voice or a phony character, they're goofing somebody and they don't know they're being goofed, right? The difference between them and me is that people call us. We don't place any crank phone calls. I don't hide any microphones anywhere. I'm not going into a mall dressed as a guy and somebody doesn't figure he wanted to be on TV that day and all of a sudden he's on TV and then they got to pay him for the release. Hey, that was really funny. Please, we'll give you $100. I'll have sex with your dog, whatever. Please let me keep the video footage so I can use it on my show. You people made a monkey out of me. I won't. Come on, please. Here's $100,000. Well, on second thought, we don't do that, man. We give out the phone and people call us. Now, since nobody's been able to do that other than this show, so they turn around and they lift this, they lift that, and then they turn it into their own. And, of course, the guys on the radio that can't do what we do, what they do is they hire the callers to call in. Or they get their mother to call. Or they get their dad. Or they get their And every time I do the bit, I admit it's me, and they still call. And I got these jocks call, you know, hey, I tell you what, Eddie, I'll give you $50 if you call in and pretend like you're really outraged that someone pissed into your pool, okay? All right, fine.
Hi, it's the Joe and Bowie Morning Show. Hey, did you guys urinate in my pool?
Whatever. The producers sought hetero men who were interested in exploring the same issues we were. Oh, I see. That's what it is. Exploring issues. It's not the cash and prizes. It's exploring issues, Ross said. You really got to dangle it out there, said Ross as he zipped up, including pushing the boundaries of what is normally considered straight and gay to tear down stereotypes and blur the lines of commonly held beliefs. Ross, who's bisexual, they ended up casting straight men with important people in their lives, a relative, a college roommate, etc., who happened to be gay, Ross said. They were guys who were willing to take this challenge and do it on television, but who also wanted to walk a mile in a gay man's shoes. Did I just read that line, or... They also wanted to walk a mile in a gay man's shoes. Brother, now you're living. Boy, I wish I had my Clint Eastwood now. I sure wish I had that Clint Eastwood stuff. Do we got any Western music?
Hi, I'm Bill Hunting for Great Western Savings. You know, there's nothing like walking a mile in a gay man's shoes.
Let me tell you what, brother. There is no fuzzy line. The second you touch another guy's stuff, unless you're a doctor, you're gay. So there's no fuzzy line. The second you approach another man's junk, and you ain't no doctor, I believe you're gay. All right, just as a disclaimer, the Phil Hendry Show is not against heterosexuals. While we make a lot of jokes about them on this program, they're okay. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Professor Jeff Dowder. He is a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. Should Heather McCartney, Paul McCartney's wife who has a prosthetic leg, should she have a baby? Because she's got one leg. And by the way, yes, I am a doctor. So screw you. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Sean Hayes. I play the fruit on Will and Grace. I know many of you have asked, I'd like to walk a mile in a gay man's shoes. Well, you can. This Saturday afternoon at Gelson's Mall, I'll be there signing autographs and having sex with the first 50 men that come to the booth. There's a van there. It's clean and it's been hosed down. I know a lot of you are digging on cowboy movies and things. Let me tell you what, I'm dying of lung cancer. That's right, I'm the Marlboro Man. Marlboro Man did die of lung cancer, didn't he? So don't be laughing about that. You know, lung cancer isn't fun, but damn, I could use a cigarette. Hi, I'm Sean Hayes from Will and Grace. I play that mincing fruit. And after every sexual encounter, that's right, I light up with Marlboro.
Yes, Marlboro Country. Have a suck on this. Marlboro.
By the way, I'm glad I didn't wind up like the old spy sailor. He drowned in a kiddie pool. Who's playing the castanets? Jesus, it's Paul Newman.
All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. So you might want to see that one, Boy Meets Boy. Boy meets boy. Ron, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Phil, I'm a long-time listener, and I was just wondering, if you keep admitting that you're the one doing the voices, aren't you afraid you're going to run out of listeners and callers?
No.
No?
No. Been doing it for 6 years. Been doing it for 12 years.
I know, but how many people are going to know that it's you? I mean,
well,
that's the whole premise of your show.
No, but you see, callers are not listeners. Callers are totally different from listeners. That means that you, Ron, you're not like normal people. You're a nice guy. You're a good guy. But, you know, normal people don't call talk shows.
Oh.
See?
Gotcha.
So the audience will, you know, they're always going to be the audience. Now, as far as callers go, callers come in and out. They move in and out. They're just up and down, in, out, you know. And they don't really listen to the show. They just sort of get perked up by something they heard. So they're always going to be a part of this sort of massive of selective listeners that really fuel the caller base of any talk show.
Okay.
I've never really... Good. See?
Huh? Oh,
thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Another great call on the Phil Hendry Show. That makes two today. Other than our character hour, people are afraid of calling me. I swear to God, I think people are afraid to death of calling me because they're afraid that... Who knows? I'll make fun of them or something. I'm not here to make fun of you. I had a guy call 2 hours ago who was vehemently opposed to something I said. I treated him with decency, with respect. I spooned with him. Mark, if I gave you $5, would you call? Since curtains between compartments parted in the... I don't need phone calls. No, now, if that gets a lot of people calling, I don't want to put them... Don't put them on the air. Don't you dare. Unless they're really good, man. You know what I mean. You guys are always welcome to call. Please don't get me wrong. You know, we just sort of pick and choose. That's all. That's what we do. Since curtains between compartments parted in the name of security, class warfare has erupted on airplanes, at least when it comes to lavatory etiquette. Now, listen to this. This is sort of interesting. Well, it's not even sort of interesting. It's interesting to anybody that flies. But I want you to hear this because this is an example of class warfare where I think the people who have the bread are really getting screwed a little bit. With what many say is increased regularity, coach passengers, emboldened by the lack of barriers, are slipping into first or business class to use the can. Okay? And some elite flyers are in a lather. Ken Kushner of Santa Rosa says, I feel cheated and ripped off. I was paying a premium for the supposed peace and quiet of the forward cabin, and here we were, coach users tromping up and down, sometimes with screaming children in tow. See, when you're sitting in first class, and I've gotten bumped up a couple times, man. Believe me, I ain't paying for it. I'm using my frequent flyer miles. But I get bumped up. There used to be a curtain that they would close, right? But after 9/11, the curtain's got to be kept open. I don't know why, though. Why is that? I mean, I don't want to know what's going on back there. If they're killing people, they're killing them, man. Just keep the curtain closed. The hell is that? What are they opening it up for? So we can see the carnage? Look, if they're killing them, they're killing them. I'd like to have the movie. I'd like to have the drink that I ordered when we were on the ground, and I want it now. So they got to keep the curtain open so you can see up and down the aisle or for some reason so the terrorists can't hide, whatever the reason is. And that's just where it's at. Well, because the curtain is now open, people in coach will walk up through the first-class cabin and stand waiting for the John. Now, you say to yourself, well, that's just too bad, Mr. Rich Person. We get to use the can. What if we have to go? What if it's an emergency? If it's an emergency, it's an emergency. I understand that. But if it's just closer than the aft can that the coach is supposed to use. See, here's the thing, and this is all I would say to the airlines. I'm not even worried about the people that are flying. If I'm up there in first class, if I'm in first class, it's a rare occasion. I use the frequent flyer miles. I bump myself up. I bump my wife up. A rare time we can actually sit there, and they serve you the booze on the ground, and they give you the food on the china and all of that stuff. You know, the really wealthy people ain't flying first class anymore, man. They're chartering their own freaking planes. You don't think Jack Nicholson's flying first somewhere, do you? You think you're going to see him on a first class flight? That guy's in a charter, Jack. So the guys that are in first class now on occasion are guys like me, Newman, and Pelton. We got bumped up, big deal. So we're having ourselves a couple of pops, you know, and it feels good. Now, here comes Sadie Mae with the screaming kid to use the can because it's closer.
I didn't pay the kind of bread that I pay when I fly to have that happen. Look, at, forget about me. Let's talk about the guy that bought himself a full first-class fare. Maybe two. What's he paying the money for? What, for the bigger seat? Okay, you have a bigger seat, sir. That'll be another $3,000. Well, what? I don't understand. I mean, in other words, what you're saying is you realize, and this is purposefully done by the airlines, by the way, they realize that the flight experience is so bloody uncomfortable in coach that they put a gun to your head, and for an extra couple of G's, they'll give you about 6 more inches of seat. Oh, you want to fly first class, do you? Yes, I would like to fly first class. Isn't that nice? Well, it happens to have a seat here. Look, okay, I'll pay the money. What is it? Oh, I don't know. What am I in the mood for today? Just give me the seat, will you? It'll be about 3 G's, okay? Yeah, but, I mean, do we get the nice first-class service? Maybe. Maybe, maybe not. Well, can I get a drink on it while we're still on the ground? Maybe, maybe not. FAA rules say, no, you're not allowed to, but I know a lot of airlines do, and maybe we will. Jesus, okay, I mean, how about, will the toilets flush? I mean, I don't know. Can you keep the people out of coach from coming up think about it. What is it I'm paying a bread for, man? A bigger seat? That's right. And sometimes you get the nice fold-back seat with the footrest. Sometimes you don't. Let me tell you, I would love to mention the airlines that have the crap can first-class service. I'd love it, but I can't. Well, it's not that I can't, but I'm afraid to, because they may be a sponsor. I swear to God, they might be. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you the guys that we had, Maria and I, we cashed in like 85 billion frequent flyer miles, and we flew business class to Fiji. Which is, business class is pretty sweet, man. It's almost first class, except the seat's a little bit smaller. On Air New Zealand, the greatest airline in the world, man. I mean, I'm telling you, we had a blast. We had a blast. And the service was great, and the people were smiling. And they told, they're from New Zealand, you know, you can't understand a damn thing they say. Well, who cares? They're the friendliest, nicest people. And they look like they dig their jobs. You know what I'm saying? They look like they really dig their jobs. And you talk about a comfortable business class cabin. It's that big, you know, the upstairs part? We were in the upstairs part. There's only about 20 rows, which means it's like your own little area. God, it was great. And then, next to Maria, they had a little open-up compartment. It's like a locker. You can throw your crap in it. You take your knapsacks, whatever, throw it in there, close that down. They used to have a piano bar in that. Well, a big deal, you know. I'd rather have the seating. Oh. And then the other airline we flew, and I've said this before, American Airlines, I know what they went through after 9/11, but they still seem to keep a smile on their face after that. And we flew American to Europe. It was out of sight. Just out of sight. American Airlines business class again. Terrific. And this is the kind of dumbass that I am, because I fly first class like once every 15 years, right? She came around with a list of movies, right? And she says, just check off the one that you want to see. So Maria looks at me, and I look at her, and I go, check off the one we want to see. She goes, yeah. I go, are we all going to vote on which one we watch? She goes, yeah, maybe. That's the kind of hick that I am. They give you a DVD player. I didn't know they give you a DVD player. I had no idea they give you a DVD player. When I saw her come with the DVD player, oh, my God, I was in heaven. I got like 85 movies. There's no way I could watch all of them. But I got them anyway, right? And I'm sitting there thinking they're going to vote to see which movie we want to watch. American Airlines, outstanding. But there's some airlines that I've flown on, and I don't want to mention any names, but the initials are A. I better not. First class, and the toilet is stopped up, and you say something to somebody, excuse me, but the flush toilet stopped up. Yeah, okay. And they don't do jack about it. They do nothing about it. And then one of the airlines, and I don't want to mention any names, but it was the other one that got hit at 9/11. Filthy, dirty seats. The seats are not comfortable. The flight attendants look like they know they're going to be out of a job soon. They know it's Chapter 11 all the way. You know what I'm saying? You look at, man, why even charge me the money? You know, I'd be happy to sit in coach or find another airline. You're going to cheat me out of my dough. You're going to stick a gun to my ribs and make me pay for 6 inches of more seat. And your service stinks. And the attitude of your flight attendant stinks. What the hell do you think this is anyway, man? What do you think? You're a member of the military? You're providing a service. And you, and every time they tell you at the end of the flight, and we know you can choose another airline, so we're very grateful. No, you're not. You're not grateful at all. Not the way you freaking treated us. Not grateful at all for anything. You're not even grateful to have that job. I'm sorry, the things are tight in the airline business. What do you want from me, man? I fly as much as I can. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry it's competitive. I'm sorry things are going out of business. I'm sorry some terrorists jacked a couple of planes. You know, I'm sorry about a lot of stuff. I wish the rain was beer, but it's not. So all I'm saying is, just give us a break over here. I got off the flight in Vegas, off of that airline, and I walked over to the desk. I said, hey, let me tell you what. Here's what happened. Yes, you're right. I blew my brains out right at their desk. I said, okay, click, bang. No, I said, let me tell you what happened. And guess what they did? They said, well, here, Mr. Hendry, is a voucher for future flights on blah, blah airlines. $20 off? I said, I better take it. My wife will probably yell at me. She says, well, here's a voucher for $20 off any future flight. And I was about to say, you got to be kidding me. Until I know how my wife is, she probably would have screamed at me for not taking it. So I took it. I said, here, honey, we got $20 off a future flight. Oh, good. I said, what makes you think I'm going to fly that airline again? Well, no, honey, it's really good. And I'm going to say this. She puts it in the little drawer where she keeps all that crap. You know, the 5 cents off Magic Mountain can. What the hell? I mean, she has us taking those cans down to Magic Mountain now. You ready for that? Six Flags? You know how you get the Coke can? It says, you know, good for one admission? Oh, here, wait a minute. And she gets a bag of cans. You know, you gotta love, if you're married to a woman like that, you gotta love her. You know, it's nutty, but you gotta love her. So there we are, me and the kids traipsing to the front of the park with a bag of cans. Oh, yeah, I want to get the discount. Okay. Wild. So anyway, that's why I say, you people and coach, why don't you just bring along a little bucket you can use right there at your seat? Nah, it's okay. Just keep your kids out of you guys can come up and use it. Keep your kids out of there. 1-800-449-8686. We got Jeff Dowder, Professor Jeff Dowder today, talking about Heather McCartney. Should she have a child since she only has one leg? We'll be right back.
Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back.
You a Jack Nicholson fan?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I love him.
All right, if I give you a quote, tell me what movie it's from, okay?
All right.
All right, we're going to do some Jack Nicholson quotes here. Bud Dickman is with us. And
I love Jack Nicholson. I've seen everything.
That's great. All right, Darling, Light of My Life.
Do a Nicholson voice. You do it good.
Well, thank you, bud. Okay. Darling, light of my life, I'm not going to hurt you.
Do it better.
Do you want me to do the quote?
Just do the Nicholson voice, but do it good like you did it.
What do you mean do it good like I did it?
Just do it good.
Darling, light of my life, I'm not going to hurt you.
Just do it better.
I'm going to kick your ass if you don't shut up and just tell me what movie this is from, okay?
Jesus.
Well, what do you expect me to say, man? I'm not going to do no Nicholson impression.
Go ahead.
Darling, light of my life, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in.
Oh, that's in The Shining.
Exactly. Good, bud. I tell you, Aurora, I don't know what it is about you, but you really do bring out the devil in me.
The Shining.
No, I already did The Shining. Why would I do two quotes from it?
That's The Shining.
No, it's not. I just did The Shining.
It's a different movie.
Yes, it's a different movie from The Shining.
Well, how many of them did he do?
What is it with you, Dickman? Are you completely stupid?
The only movie I've seen that I like is Shining.
Well, he did more than those. He did like 20 of them.
Oh.
I love Jack Nicholson. Yes.
What? That was from The Shining, Phil. Just move on.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Did the tarts say it was?
I thought it was.
Then it was.
It's not from The Shining. It's from Terms of Endearment.
That's the one. I'm sorry.
That's the one.
That's the one.
That's not what he said. He said The Shining.
No, he didn't. Excuse me. No, he didn't. Yes, I did. Wait a second, Phil. Hold on for a minute.
What?
How'd Bud get in the phone with me?
I don't know. I was just talking to him.
Yeah, a minute ago you were in the studio. Now you're in the phone.
You getting confused or something?
Maybe.
All of a sudden, Bud, get back out of the studio where you belong.
But I like it here. It's right.
Get out of here!
Okay, I'm over here now.
All of you guys, bug off. How'd you get in the phone with me? All right, here's another quote. Remember, as my plastic surgeon always said, if you gotta go, go with a smile. You got it, the Joker. Dear Ndugu, about Schmidt. You mean marijuana? Lord have mercy. That what that is? Easy Rider. Or, anyway. I move around a lot, not because I'm looking for anything really, but because I'm getting away from things that get bad when I stay. That's from 5 Easy Pieces. Believe me, looks are everything. That is from Carnal Knowledge. And I almost lost my nose last night, and I like my nose. I like breathing through it. That from Chinatown.
That was from The Shining.
Yeah.